All right, we have some major breaking news. Trump is currently infringing on the rights of multiple states, but especially California. California Governor Gavin Newsom sent out a tweet where he calls Trump's order illegal and says that this could allow him to send the military into any state due to the lack of geographical boundaries. He says every governor, red or blue, should reject this outrageous overreach. I have a treat for you all today. Representative Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey came on to explain the exact consequences of this. And the key is, she is 24 hours away from her governor race. The primary is tomorrow. She is a former Navy pilot, and she explains the exact dangers of mobilizing the National Guard. Please drop a like, check out her social media below, and check this out. I am joined today by New Jersey Representative Mikey Sherrill, who is just one day away from the highly anticipated gubernatorial primary on June 10th. Representative, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here when there's so much going on, when you're on a tight time frame. First of all, I want to jump into some key issues that are facing New Jersey, and then we can broaden it and talk a little bit more about national issues. So can you explain to my audience in New Jersey how you can help families ease the affordability problems? New Jersey families constantly rank affordability as their top concern. What are your top priorities there?
Yeah, so I hear about this all the time. And in New Jersey, we really love New Jersey. And so the idea of not being able to raise your kids here, or as a senior, not being able to watch your grandkids grow, is really, really upsetting. And yet for too many families, it's just becoming unaffordable and untenable trying to make ends meet here. And the number one thing I hear about is housing. So whether it's mortgage rates or rental rates, too many people are getting priced out. That's why as governor, I am going to on day one focus on housing, driving towards these solutions like cutting through red tape and permitting. We hear some developments taking 12 years and that costs millions of dollars, or because of permitting and regulatory requirements, developments falling through again and again and again because it's too costly to get through that process. Making sure that we are helping support those first-time homebuyers with our first-time homebuyer program. Right now in New Jersey, it's only $15,000 support. That doesn't really get you very far here. We know that housing costs have gone up by over 50% in the last 5 years in New Jersey. In Colorado, for example, where they're doing transit-oriented development, they've gone down by 20%. So it's really about building more houses. And I'm going to repurpose. Everybody here knows like a strip mall or an office park that's being underutilized right now. I'm going to drive in tax incentives, make sure we are repurposing those for housing as well.
That is brilliant. It's incredible how many problems can be solved just by increasing the supply of housing across certain states. I want to build off the back of your answer and ask you about education funding. You've spoken a lot about the disparities in education funding. What specific actionable steps would you take as governor to ensure that every child has access to high quality education?
Well, that's what we're struggling with here, because sometimes, you know, we like to say in New Jersey, we have the best education system in the nation. And by the numbers, many times that might be true, but it still can be very much by zip code. So that's why we really have to address the sources of funding and who's getting resources and how we're utilizing those resources. So in so many cases, we're utilizing resources for a lot of administrative work that goes on. We in New Jersey have more municipalities than California, and we have more superintendents than mayors of municipalities. So that shows you how much money and effort goes into administration versus pushing in for students and teachers in things like high intensity tutoring, in mental health support resources, in on-ramps into a teaching profession like accreditation for high intensity tutoring programs that people are running, or for long-term substitutes who are working right now because we have a teacher shortage. So in this way, really taking down some of the costs, including our property taxes, while still driving in excellence into our schools and really making sure that money goes towards students and teachers and not towards a bloated administrative system.
How would you secure the funding needed for transportation projects, public transportation projects across New Jersey?
This is where New Jersey has struggled so much, because we really have not had for many years a long-term dedicated source of funding for transportation. And because of that, we have seen the erosion of our transit system. So both longstanding rail systems, which now, you know, are on the, sometimes it feels like the brink of collapse. We have summer of hell after summer of hell. So we need to push in more resources there. And at the same time, envision the future of transit across the state. A lot of our rail lines are from the 1800s. We need to map out the whole new system of transit, rail, bus service, et cetera, light rail. And for that, we're going to need the dedicated source of funding, which is the transit-oriented development. That's how countries across the world have a long-term source of funding that feeds into transit systems and helps grow and innovate. And I think we see, even when we fix our transit systems, it still doesn't feel like we're innovating in the way we need to. And that's what I'm going to do as governor.
Very, very well said. I just want to zoom out and ask you one broader question right now. Governor Gavin Newsom tweeted less than an hour ago regarding Trump's memorandum. The illegal order he signed could allow him to send the military into any state he wishes. Every governor, red or blue, should reject this outrageous overreach. If you were the governor, what would you do to protect New Jersey from overreach like this?
Yeah, you know, this is something I've worked on for a long time. I've introduced legislation on the Insurrection Act, which is vague and outdated, for years now in the National Defense Authorization Act. A couple of years I've gotten it through the House, never through the Senate, because of this overreach I saw coming from Trump in his first administration, and now certainly even worse in this administration. And this is something we've really been pushing back on for years. We have, you know, almost every admiral and general of note, whether it's, you know, McRaven or Stavridis or General Milley or Esper, or I mean, you name some flag officer, some admiral or general that you've heard of in recent times, and that person has said, this is not how you use our military troops. This is not appropriate. And they really pushed back, Milley especially, pushed back in Trump's first administration as he tried to utilize troops in this manner. And I think it was because the military really stood against Trump in his first administration that we saw him almost immediately take the actions of firing admirals and generals right away when he got into office. And what I think has to happen is governors have to stand together in a united way. It's why I'm running for governor, to stand in the breach here. I truly think it's our governors, our federalist system, that can stand against what's coming from Washington, D.C., and the attacks that an executive that's almost unchecked by Congress or the Senate, the Republican majority is there, and seeing how he is acting in an almost unchecked way and creating more and more problems. So let me just, for people who are listening, just touch on why this is so inappropriate. So I'm a Navy veteran. I served in the Navy for almost 10 years, and I know the military. I now sit on the House Armed Services Committee, so deal with all of the military issues that come up. I'm also a former federal prosecutor. So as a prosecutor, I led cases with a lot of law enforcement. So I understand law enforcement. And I think maybe for people outside those systems, they don't really understand how different those two entities are. So when you have law enforcement acting for public safety, they are trained in riot control. They are trained in defusing situations. They are trained to deal with a population of U.S. civilians to keep people safe and to put down violence. And that is really difficult. And that is why we have such professional police forces. I know in New Jersey, we have some of the most professional police in the nation trained to do just this. The military, on the other hand, is trained to fight wars. They are trained to shoot to kill. They are trained in very different means of combat, not riots, not trying to keep people safe while they are ending violence on the streets of America. It's very, very different. And so to put our military there, to have someone like Hegseth say that he's going to put the Marines on the streets of America, that's really dangerous. It's dangerous for our civilian populations. It's not good for the Marines. It's not what they are trained to do, and you're putting them in a very bad situation. And it's really, as we're looking at our national security and what we are training these forces for, it's a poor use of our military. So on every single level, this is not what you do, unless a governor says, look, I am out of people to do this. This situation has gotten beyond our capacity. But that's not the case. Governor Newsom has been surging in police forces. It's California. That's a pretty big state with a lot of law enforcement. He has not asked for that support. So for Trump to suggest he's putting military members on the street like this, that is just beyond what he should be doing. It's dangerous. And it's sort of like lighting a match onto gasoline and trying. It seems like he's actually intentionally trying to inflame this situation. And so that's why I think Governor Newsom going to court is exactly what he should be doing now, to plead in court and to try to actually continue to contain the situation, continue to keep people safe, as Trump is, as usual, doing nothing but what he thinks works for himself politically and actually putting a lot of people in danger.
Yep. And you hit on those headlines perfectly. Trump is doing this against the explicit objections of Governor Newsom. And he did this after kind of creating this self-perpetuating outrage loop where he would have his admin members go on Fox News, escalate the situation. And then after it escalates, he would use that as a pretext to then mobilize these forces. So it's all a mess. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You know, I really appreciate all this. This has been a great discussion and more. I love how you just got a little more in depth than you can in a lot of sound bites. So thank you so much for giving me that opportunity to speak to you and your viewers. And I really appreciate it.